Hello, freaks, and welcome to Radical Research. That 3 second bit of fucking nutso-mania is a little bit what we have in store tonight. I'm going to argue that perhaps we should consider that little bit from Brand X as intense as Napalm Death You Suffer, but only half man, half biscuit knows. Hunter Ginn, your thoughts on this?
Intense. Maybe more intense than You Suffer because it required more effort.
Way more notes than You Suffer.
Way more notes. You know what? Napalm Death? Fuck you.
Whoa, yeah. Whoa, whoa, back up, back up, back off. We're not people jumping ship. These guys no longer like Napalm Death. They're going to be feeding us some new age jazz bullshit. Death,
but I told you earlier, Jeff Wagner, I'm in a mood tonight. Get at me. I'm in a mood to fight.
In a mood to fight.
Biscuit needs some sorghum.
Biscuit does. I ain't got no sorghum either. I'm fresh out up here in Greensboro.
You know what? I'm fresh out of Fox.
I'm always that. We were talking for about 25 minutes about some personal stuff. We're both in interesting headspaces of great happiness and hope ahead and really crushing reality in the present day. So it's been crazy. We love each other. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. This is Radical Research, episode 137. I want to thank Zur Matzhaus. Hope I'm saying that correctly. Zur Matzhaus, looks German, for contributing to our efforts via Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/radicalresearchpodcast to join. We so appreciate. Sean Palmerston sent us a donation directly via PayPal, which you can do too. Our PayPal is the same as our contact email. That is radicalresearchpodcast@gmail.com. I tend to answer most of the emails unless they're directed directly to Hunter. I will admit I'm way behind because life, once again, gets in the way. But I love hearing from everybody. I always share the greatest emails with Hunter, and I love all the questions and comments that people throw at us. Also, Sean Palmerston, by the way, don't want to jump over his contribution of $6.66. And if we could get, 10 more of those in the next month, well, we can buy one of those fucking Elon Musk mobiles you see out in the street. Put a huge early Cataclysm logo on it, that big round thing. But no, yep. Speaking of Canadians, Sean Palmerston is a Canadian who succeeded me at Relapse. So he and I go back to those heady days of 96 and 97. Thanks, Sean. Also a Voivod fan. You can also pick up my Voivod book. There's been a little delay in the shipping. It's now going to be shipping the last day of November, December 1st, latest. There was a little bit of a backlog at the printer, but it's literally on the printer right now. I've seen the proof of the book. It's called Always Moving, The Strange Multiverse of Voivod, and you can get it at radicalresearch.org/Voivod. Why don't we talk about Brand X, Hunter?
Yeah, why don't we?
Yeah, we actually first featured a snippet by Brand X on episode 5 of Radical Research, our first of 3 fusion decapitation episodes. Mm-hmm. And we love this band. And I think we're just going to play a bit of a snippet called Nuclear Burn. Why don't we do that from their first album, Unorthodox Behavior, which came out in 76?
Yes.
76. And there will be much to talk
about.
It's a
great year, except that I wasn't born that year.
Yeah, well, I was there. I was around.
I feel like they were waiting on me.
They were waiting on you.
Yeah.
They were waiting on. I was listening to Seasons in the Sun by Terry Jacks and Green by Kermit. And then I think a year and a half later, discovered Kiss. Certainly wasn't listening to Brand X in 76.
Poser.
I know. Nuclear Burn. I'm once again kind of reminded maybe that this sort of stuff, which we'll just call fusion for lack of a better term, although I'd certainly think of Brand X as more of the on the proggy side of fusion, the prog rock side. This is music that like you stare at in disbelief as you listen to it. I'm always amazed at some of the hottest, craziest fusion. I'm always just amazed that like humans do this.
Yeah, and like I will say this again and again and again. I think that Phil Collins is one of the most underrated drummers on the face of the planet.
Which is an interesting thing to say. We've talked about this before, but let's talk about it again.
I don't think that people take him seriously enough.
Well, listen to that. I mean, that's Phil Collins.
That's what I'm
Just
saying though, but like, a lot of people don't know about this Phil Collins. I
he's
think
ripping
that
Vinnie Colaiuta level ass right here.
you think that Phil Collins is a pop star. He's that too, which just makes it even more incredible.
Oh, for sure, man.
Like he's
For
both.
sure.
Like he's a fucking pop star and like not even a really good looking guy. He's like a short, bald dude that's a pop star and also a fucking smoking drummer. Phil
Yeah.
Collins is a miracle of human design.
And let's talk about him a second to get back into Brand X, because he was doing Brand X, of course, while Genesis was in the thick of their most prolific phase. From 76 to 80, 81 is when Brand X was happening. And Phil Collins was in and out of it, but mostly in it. And of course, he guested on so many other things throughout the 70s. Like his list of guest credits is pretty awesome. So he obviously loved to work, obviously was drumming a shit ton. Yeah, I mean, eternal worship for Phil Collins here at Radical Research, no question. But we have to say, Brand X was basically formed and maintained by the nucleus of three other guys. It wasn't Phil's band per se. He kind of came into what Robin Lumley, John Goodsell, and Percy Jones created. Lumley is the piano synthesizer guy, Goodsell is the guitarist, and Percy Jones is the bassist. All three of these motherfuckers, insane.
Percy Jones, man, just one of the all-time greats.
Yes, we think you'll see that, listeners, throughout this episode. We could have done a much longer episode, but we kind of wanted to stay in the tradition of fusion decapitations and do like I think we always did about 10, right? And we're going to do 10 here tonight. Actually, we're going to do 11. So I just lied to you. They also were really good at they had some of the best song titles in prog rock or metal or otherwise, right?
Yeah, totally.
And this
Go
next
super.
one.
Yeah, okay. Or this next one, Smacks of Euphoric Hysteria.
Thank you. Yeah, man. There is so much wonderful stuff going on there. I guess because we just talked about Phil and because you're a drummer and we covered this very specific subject about 8 or 9 episodes ago when we did Genesis and then there were three album, that distinctive Phil Collins tom sound.
Yeah,
Like
there.
what is that?
It's just the way he tunes them. And he always played with black dot heads, which gives it a very percussive and expressive sound.
Black dot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they literally have black dots in the middle. And
Okay.
if
Oh,
you look
yeah.
at, yeah, if you look at any of his drum pictures from that era, like they're all black dots. It's kind of like Bill Bruford, though. Like his snare sound is like nothing else.
I think there are three drummers from this. Well, no, there's many. Neil Peart, Alex Van Halen, Bill Bruford and Phil Collins, where you know it's them,
You know who it is.
even if you didn't know, right? I mean, as long
Who
as
it is.
you're well-versed, a deep listener, and you know these guys, like you can tell who this is. Like they have not only a sound, as we're talking about with Phil, but a personality, a character in their playing that is just so distinguishable. But we also have to talk about John Goodsell. I love the really quiet breakdowns and smacks of euphoric hysteria.
Oh,
And then Percy Jones doing his bubbling manic thing, trying to get out of the cage and just all hell breaks loose again. It's just such exciting music. And like, Unorthodox Behavior, their first one. I mean, if anybody's going to argue that it's their best one, I wouldn't argue against them. I don't have a favorite Brand X. I like pretty much all of them.
I don't either. Yeah, that's a really good point. I don't either.
I don't know that they have like a super standout. I think they've just always been not only consistent, but certainly once you get into product and Do They Hurt, they start expanding the scope even more. But yeah, this is a great album. It's got Hypnosis artwork, which is not the best artwork on the Hypnosis roster. But then you know who did Wishbone Ashes, There's the Rub, which we mentioned last episode. That was Hypnosis as well.
Bummer.
Bummer, right?
Oh God. Yeah, right.
And
Sometimes I like when I play that album, I'll just take it out and put the sleeve right back in. Yeah, I don't want to look at that.
yeah, but it's okay. This Brand X Unorthodox Behavior cover is not too bad. It's just,
Not that bad.
it's not that. No, it's not. There's the Rub bad, and we shouldn't speak badly of There's the Rub. We should say that it's one of our favorite Wishbone Ash albums, I think, collectively, right?
Amazing album. Yeah.
Amazing album. Before we move on to the second Brand X, one more song title from Unorthodox Behavior I want to mention, Born Ugly. Like eight minute song called Born Ugly. It's like if you're born ugly, man, you're just getting off on such a bad foot. That's rough. That is rough, being born ugly.
That
Sucks for you, buddy.
sucks.
All right. We're going to move on to Moroccan Roll. Great little play on words there, Moroccan Roll. Same lineup, same four, except we add Morris Pert on percussion, who would come in and out of Brand X from now on. Is he in Weather Report? What's Morris Pert known for?
I actually don't know.
Looks like he's played with Bryan Ferry in the past. I'm just kind of looking this up on the spot. Rod Argent, Kate Bush on the kick and side. Okay, that's interesting. All right, he's been around. So anyway, percussionist Morris Pert comes in, and we have Moroccan Roll, I think every bit the equal of Unorthodox Behavior. Let's give a listen to this lovely thing called Disco Suicide. Well titled for a 1977 song.
Yeah, so much elasticity in the playing. Just, batshit fusion decapitation stuff early, but then they can really stretch out and get spacious too.
Yeah, great point. And as I was listening, this is why I kind of consider them more, or quite a bit, in the prog rock sort
Oh
of
yeah, totally.
world as
Yeah.
well, because they get into this thing that, and I think of prog as something kind of amorphous or not categorizable. It should always feel different. It should always feel truly progressive in that sense. So yeah, when they start getting into that more spacious, as you say, cosmic or Eastern stuff, it's wonderful. And that's what I like about this band too, is the cap not only the capability, but they're never too afraid to go outside the bounds of what fusion is. I don't think they ever were too concerned about being fusion. They probably just were guys really into rock, guys really into jazz that wanted to create
Something, yeah, something else.
highly colorful music for sure.
That's prog rock. It's like there was no such thing as prog rock. It was just
Right.
people that wanted to make, experimental rock music.
Sure. It was in the air. I mean, I think it was Derek Shulman of Gentle Giant who said that, in the when they formed the first few albums, they were like, we didn't know what we were doing in terms of like, oh, we're progressive rock. We
Yeah.
just thought, it was like there seemed to be an openness to throwing all these different ingredients and musical disciplines or approaches into rock. Like it was kind of the first time in rock's history that it really been embraced. So everybody everywhere was kind of going nuts, Todd Rundgren went through his massive prog phase and certainly killed in the
Yeah,
fusion world too.
making one of the greatest albums of all time.
Jesus, if you don't have it, get that baby blue eye one, Todd Rundgren's Utopia. Yeah, Disco Suicide's great. There's so much about this album to talk about. They start to introduce vocals a little bit. Sun in the Night on this album, the opener contains vocals sung by Phil. And Disco Suicide had a little bit of vocal in there, but it was wordless. Same thing with this great, the second song has a great song title, but they do wordless vocals throughout this one too. The second song title being, "Why Should I Lend You Mine When You've Broken Yours Off Already?" What do you imagine they're talking about? A comb?
Dick?
What? A dick. Why should I lend you mine when you've broken yours off already?
I don't know.
A Snickers candy bar, I'll say.
Yeah, like Snickers.
Another cover by Hypnosis, Storm Thurgeson and Hypnosis. An improvement over the first album. Again, not Hypnosis's greatest, but I like it because it looks so 77. And why not?
Various steps. Yes.
And in this era, in 77, they put out a live album after this called Livestock, which is really remarkable because it's got a couple, two or three of the six or seven tracks. I'm just going from memory, but are all new compositions. So Livestock is kind of worth getting. We're not going to play anything from it, but yeah, that's Livestock's very much part of the whole Brand X thing. You got to have it if you love them. So, and last bit of trivia, Chris Sangarides to Sangarides Sangarides was a tape operator on Rock and Roll, and he went on to work with Thin Lizzy, Helloween, Anvil, Judas Priest. So I love that kind of stuff.
Course.
Yeah, and I'm listening to this album going, man, who was the tape operator on this thing? Boy, this is hot. Hot tape operating.
Dude, who's the tape operator?
Dude.
Get me right in touch with the tape operator.
Well, I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry on this album. There's four tape operators, so I don't know if it mattered a whole lot.
I want to see every tape operator
On the floor right now. You boys are getting a bonus.
now.
Get them all right here. You boys are getting a raise. This sucker sounds great, and it's due to your tape operating.
Shit is saturated as fuck.
Oh, man. Yeah, Macrocosm. This one you chose. Man, boy, this one kills. Let's go. Macrocosm from Rock and Roll. See, some of those weird tones Percy Jones is doing at the end of that snippet are just unexpected and dissonant and strange. And I feel like Macrocosm is really well titled. I also feel like if Pink Floyd were a fusion band, this is what they'd sound like. Super spacey, you know?
Really good point. Yeah. Man, yeah, it's a great point. Never thought about that. But yeah, totally.
And you're a big Macrocosm fan. Like, I know you love Brand X, you love this album, but Macrocosm seems to be one of your favorites.
Oh God, dude. Yeah, it's fucking, for me, this is like the pinnacle.
Well, it ends the album. You always want an album to end strong, and this one does. Yeah, man, just amazing shit. Thankfully, it seems Brand X albums, even to this day, where, you know, the vinyl bins are more expensive than they used to be. Remember those days when you get Queen and Thin Lizzy albums for like $3,
Oh,
and now
dude,
they're
I got Moroccan Roll for like 50 cents, I think at Papa Jazz in Columbia, South Carolina. I mean, it
right.
was
What?
for absolutely nothing.
Right. Back in the like the aughts when vinyl was probably
Yeah,
at the,
no, it's like
yeah.
2004 or something like that. Yeah.
Right. Before the big resurgence or whatever, which is great. We all always welcomed it, but you know, so I've talked to people where they're like, oh, I regret selling my records in the 90s. It's like, dude, what? I never thought about selling my
Why
records in the 90s.
would have done that?
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, teach their own. Let's move on. We get into Masks, which is a cool album. Came out in 78. Did not go with Hypnosis for this cover. And the cover is fine. It's not amazing. I don't know why I'm so into the Brand X covers and talking about them.
What, and
Why?
just talking shit about them?
Talking shit about him. Well, I won't be on the next one, so maybe there's that. Maybe I know that's coming up. But we're gonna listen to snippets from Mask, and this is the one that I believe Phil Collins sat this one out, and they got Chuck Burgee in to join Goodsall and Jones and Pert. Lumley, it's really weird. Yeah, Robin Lumley is producer here, but not the keyboardist. It's a guy named J. Peter Robinson joining Goodsall Jones and Chuck Burgee. Morris Pert also here. Chuck Burgee is an interesting guy. He just off the top of my head, I know he's played with later incarnations of Rainbow and Blue Oyster Cult. I think he also played with Mingo Lewis before, like pre-Flight Never Ending album. And if you could play with Mingo Lewis, you're fucking badass. As a drummer, do you have any education on Chuck Burgee? Did you Is there
Yeah,
anything?
not really. I'm waiting to get to Mike Clark.
You don't even care. You're just like, I don't give a fuck.
Don't give a fuck about this guy. Yeah, no.
Oh, you're cracking me up, dude. All right. Well, let's listen to turns out that the stuff I picked from this album are the final two songs, the first one being a bit from Access to Data.
Thank you.
So apparently Chuck Burgee's pretty damn good. Apparently Percy Jones is still an incredible bassist. And apparently John Goodsoul is one of my favorite guitarists of all time, suddenly. Like, Jesus.
Yes, too much. Sometimes you like hear something, it's just like it's just more than I can bear. And that song was more than I can bear.
Yeah, I think Goodsoul, the guitarist, is probably the featured player there. That's just some incredible guitar work.
Dude, the bass playing too.
Yeah.
And let me back up. Okay. I'll give the drummer some. I am waiting on Mike Clark, but respect.
Oh yeah, I mean that some of that cowbell work was great. I mean, it's
Come on now.
fantastic.
Come on
Yeah.
now.
Come on now. Yeah. No, this guy's playing on a high level. Yeah, but look, dude, you're in Brand X. You
You like you in yeah, if you're in Brand X, like you know who you are.
you're no slouch. I always think of the Zappa example. Like, you don't even have to like Zappa to know that, like, if you played with Zappa, you're pretty much top of the line in whatever
Plus,
instrumentation you're doing.
Harry Bozio said that like just playing with Zappa is pretty much bona fides for anything else you do. Like you know that you can play complex music and you know you play well just by virtue of having played with Zappa.
Yeah, absolutely. Percy Jones is playing a wall bass, WAL. It's a brand of electric bass. I think it's an English one. And it's fretless. And he was known as a fretless guy, but he really starts to kill on this wall, this WAL bass at this time. Just incredible sound and character. Yeah, man, just amazing shit. Let's move on to The Ghost of Mayfield Lodge, the song that closes out Masks. A 10-minute number. We're going to play just a couple minutes of it.
Man, fucking transcendent jazz scat.
Yeah, they say they definitely bring the jazz into jazz fusion there, but also just as much sort of weird Prague, really.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that makes Brand X so compelling for me is the way that they balance those two things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Would you say that this is sort of the end of that first era for them? Because I think the next two records, Product and Do They Hurt, are a little different.
Yeah, that Do They Hurt is definitely different.
And Product has a lot of vocal. Why don't we move on? Because I don't have any information on a tape operator for Masks. Sorry.
Oh, you don't?
No, it's not very radical on my part in
No
terms of
tape operator?
tape operator. No tape operator
What
information.
the hell?
So we get into 1979's Product. I'm going to say right now, that's an amazing album cover. I'd buy that if I didn't even know what I was buying. If I saw it in the used racks, I'd be, yeah, that's coming home.
Hey, there ain't nothing I love more than a used rack.
Oh,
Hey.
hey. Hypnosis comes back and they really score this time. That's a classic Hypnosis cover right there.
Good.
Product. Love it. Yeah, so great. Some great song titles on this one. This came out in 79. This is their fourth. Algon, where an ordinary cup of drinking chocolate costs 8 trillion pounds. Sorry, I messed that up. It's 8 billion pounds.
Oh, good.
As if that changes anything for an ordinary drinking chocolate. What else? Oh, there's a song called Wall to Wall. I mentioned the wall bass. And side two has the Wall to Wall tune, co-written by Percy Jones, of course.
Jones.
I do love the ending of this. It's a 2.5 minute thing called April, probably one of the softest and quietest and most beautiful little things they've done. And So to F is on here. That's a Collins song, 6.5 minutes. And Product, you were talking about Mike Clark. We get Mike Clark on two of these songs. Yeah, so lots of good stuff on here. We're going to start with what, remember this is 79, fills between, and then there were three and Duke. And they opened the album. And like I said earlier, this is a pretty vocal-oriented album for Brand X anyway, relatively, right? And they opened with a song called Don't Make Waves. And it might as well have been on Duke. It didn't make Duke, it made this album, but you'll see what I mean. Here we go. Don't Make Waves.
Yeah, I mean, that's just some like shit hot pop music, basically.
I mean, like I said, it could be on Duke, which was, I think, the first real pop leaning Genesis record
Yeah,
in
I
a big
agree.
in a big way. And I love Duke. I don't think it's as strong as the albums that come before or after it, being Abacab and then there were three, but it's really good. And that so sounds like that. Yeah, I mean, and how different is it than what we were just listening to?
Completely different.
Yeah, written by Goodsall. It's not a Phil Collins song, but it might as well have been, but written by John Goodsall. We do get Mike Clark on this album, on a couple songs, and it's going to be the second song we're going to take us a listen to. And here, this is written by Jones. We get Mike Clark on drums, and the song is called Dance of the Illegal Aliens. And I don't think I have to remind too many people that Illegal Alien was a song from a Genesis record about 5 years later on the Shapes album, the self-titled. Kind of interesting that it's titled that. I don't know if Phil took it later, used it in a phrase for what turned out really to be a crap Genesis song. I mean, I'm not a fan of Illegal Alien by Genesis. Your thoughts on that one, that song?
Also, not a fan.
How much of the Shapes album do you like? Because look, we're going to go off on a small Genesis tangent for a second. We've covered Genesis quite a bit in this podcast. We've done a Steve Hackett show. We did the Lamb's Hind Quarters. We did Then There Were Three, and here we are with Phil and Brand X. What do you think of the Shapes album by Genesis that features the shitty Illegal Alien?
Man, I'm hot and cold on a lot of 80s Genesis. So, I mean, all those albums are, they've got good things on them, but got a bunch of stinkers too, as far as I'm
Yeah.
concerned.
I think Shapes was the first one for me that had an imbalance of stinkers to great stuff. Because Abacab, to me, Abacab ends a little weak. Abacab ends weak. And I want to do a show where I present the real Abacab, which would consist of like at least two, maybe three B-sides that they didn't put on the album that are way better than the last two songs at Abacab. I would make that album better. That would be fun.
I will make that album better.
I will make that album better. Jeff Wagner makes Abacab better. That's going to be an episode. So we're Genesis geeks, so allow us, please. No, but like, yeah, Shapes, aka Genesis. I think Mama's awesome. I think
Oh
Home by the,
God, dude,
yeah,
Mama's incredible.
who doesn't love Mama? I mean, that's true Genesis. I hear true Genesis in Home by the Sea and Home by the Sea, or Second Home by the Sea. Really great pairing of those two. I think that's an incredible Genesis. Man, those two songs, Home by the Sea, Second Home by the Sea, can't recommend it enough. Silver Rainbow, incredible. Oh, Just a Job to Do. I like Just a Job to Do. I'm all about that song. So I feel like, there's four great songs and then the rest of it, I'm like, I feel like I'm missing one maybe. But anyhow, yeah, we love some Genesis, but we don't love Illegal Alien, which is on that album. Let's go with Dance of the Illegal Aliens, much, much better, by Brand X, 1979. With who's your boy in this? Who's your boy playing drums?
My boy is Mike Clark.
Okay, we're gonna listen. You're gonna tell us all about Mike Clark after this, all right?
Probably not, but like, I'll tell you something.
I know you will. Deal. Let's go.
Man, God, just like blissful for me, like joyful. And Mike Clark is such just an, I think about the way that drums are recorded these days and edited and sound replaced, and like this guy's just shredding.
It's obvious to say for all of these guys, a Collins and organic. They're these organic guys, like just natural talent, just completely dialed in from somewhere else.
But probably the most popular record that Mike Clark's been on is Herbie Hancock's Thrust.
Yes, yeah.
If you've ever heard Palm Grease, then you know what this guy's up to.
The drumming on Thrust is unbelievable.
It's insane.
And I picked that snippet because I think it's the longest snippet of the night for us and with Brand X, because it that one unfolds slowly. And I think you could say that's for some other Brand X songs, but I just that one to me, like you said, bliss is a good word. Beautiful. It's where I want to be for a while. And I think
I
they are
would,
so
that's where I want to be right now, Jeff.
They're so nimble and so imaginative would be a word, but also just keeping it kind of reined in this beautiful way. I just think that they're just controlling it so well. I don't know, man.
No,
Product is
it's like tantric sex. It's
it,
like
it is, yeah. And we
you just
mentioned a lot of
you hold it right there.
you hold it right. Radical Research, we hold it right there. There's a t-shirt slogan. So we talked a lot about other songs on here and the lineup and all. There's a guy that comes in named John Giblin who plays bass, could be John Giblin, plays bass on half of it. Percy's only on three songs. So they had, at this point, the fourth album, they had this little bit malleable lineup. Goodzell is probably the one that's been on the most, I think. Phil Collins here a good bit, most of it. Your boy Mike Clark on a couple. Morris Pert shows up. And Peter Robinson from the last album. Lumley's back on like half the track. So it's like, it's an interesting sort of way they start to just really come in and out of the lineup, these guys. But Product is cool. And the last thing I want to say about it is it's one of my favorite Brand X for sure, because it goes in more directions than any other. I would even say more so than Do They Hurt. So I enjoy it. I think it shows them stretching and doing it really well. Let's go to Do They Hurt? You had an interesting observation about this. Either we were texting about these guys yesterday or to the day, or maybe even today, about how you think Do They Hurt, their 1980 album, their fifth, is underrated or just not very
I
much
do think
liked.
it's underrated. I think a lot of people give it short shrift.
That phrase again. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I've never been able to figure that out because, like, I think it's got some really intense and vital stuff on it.
Absolutely. No, it's great Brand X. I've always thought so. Product and Do They Hurt aren't as loved as the first three, I think, overall, but it depends on who you
Like
talk to, of course.
maybe you should hurt if you don't
Meth.
know.
Yeah, we'll give you the RR Smackdown.
We'll give you a good hurting
Do
over
they
here.
hurt? I can answer that in the affirmative.
Do they hurt? Maybe you hurt.
Okay, well, let's see. This is Act of Will. This could be divisive. I think we'll win people over on Do They Hurt, but we have three snippets from this one before we go out. So, how about Act of Will?
I saw the
Godly and cream all over the 95% of that until the end. And that's why I love Godly and Cream, because that is sort of in that world, that weird art rock kind of like Buggles, strange pop world. Like, I love Active Will. Your thoughts on it?
That they predated Daft Punk's discovery
Ooh.
by 20 years at least.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This came out in 80. Yeah,
Yep.
okay.
Yep. So Discovery was 2001, and
Yeah.
yep. And like, yeah, I listened to that record not that long ago. It's like, yeah. This was doing that 20 years before.
Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, and again, kind of different from everything we've heard, even the stuff from Product, right? Where they start going out on different limbs. A couple things here. That was written by Goodsoul, the guitarist. The last 5 seconds of that snippet sounds like a riff from Kiss's Crazy Nights. I am serious. You could fucking put that right on Crazy Nights and nobody would notice. Like, where are we going now?
Motherfucker, dude, seriously,
Art
yeah,
rock, baby. Art
a lot of
rock.
things happening right now. God, tonight's getting crazy. It's a crazy, crazy night.
I think it's a crazy, crazy night. Two
It's a
crazies.
crazy night.
Okay. Let's get back down to earth. Neil Kernan co-produced this and Product. What do you want to say about? I mean, I think best known to us as the producer of some Bad Macabre album. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, that's the thing he's most well known for.
That Macabre album and
Did he
Skinless.
album?
Didn't he
Yeah.
do Skinless too?
Yeah, he did Demoniac. Was that, hold on a minute. Is that?
Skinless, the Long Island, like.
Oh no, I know. Yeah, I know. He did a Demoniac album, didn't he?
Is Neil Kernan?
Yeah.
The Osmos Band or ex-Osmos?
I don't know.
No, but I will look, the two we have
Yeah,
to.
I think he did. He got into some really dodgy death metal territory for a while.
Yeah. Well, okay, but the reason I bring him up is because he's awesome. I mean, for most everything he does is pretty awesome in terms of his production and what he when he's a real producer in that he brings his personality just a little bit to the band, but not enough to intrude. Like, I think he's just always pretty much an asset to the band. So
Look.
whether we're talking about Macabre or Skinless, the two albums, we got to talk about the two albums that we would bring up and praise Neil Kernan forever for. I think they're the same. You and I have the same two.
Obviously, Spiral Architect.
Yes. And
You tell me.
Rage for Order by Queensryche. Mm-mm. Rage for Order is a thing beyond words. We'll probably never cover it because it's just that it's like covering Awaken the Guardian. I would never do that. We can't do a show on them, those albums. Anyhow, let's move back. Neil Kernan, Brand X, amazing, right? Let's go to Fragile. Let's see. Is your boy, we got Robinson on this one. Half the album, Lumley, two songs only. Good Soul.
I love how like Mike Clark is now my boy.
Yeah, but apparently he is, and he plays five. He plays on five of these tracks, man.
Like, here's your boy.
Your boy, Mike Clark. Yeah, he plays on the next one too. Fragile. Let's listen.
Thank you.
I like that.
Man, it's like a depressed Frank Zappa.
Rainy Day Zappa.
Yeah.
Just rainy.
Like shut in and like got in his own head. And he's like, I
Yep.
have to write something.
That's
That's what
really good. It does sound like some of that more instrumental, sublime stuff that Zappa can and has gotten into. I've never heard that in Fragile, and Fragile's one of my favorites on this album, but
But it has a pensive quality about it that you don't often get in Zappa, but like it, the way that it's put together, it's very Zappa-esque.
yeah, it's melancholy. It is a little wacky. I mean, we were listening, you and I, and it kind of in the middle of that snippet, I said, "Keep Prague weird," because that's exactly
Yeah.
what it's all about. Yeah. So
No.
that has your boy Clark on it. That was written by Percy Jones. He plays on it too, of course. Morris Pert, I think, doing some amazing percussion.
Oh my
What's
God.
that thing that sounds like? I always describe it as water. And like, what's that thing that sounds like? It's tuned. It's like a tuned bubbly, but it's percussion.
It's a marimba.
Marimba. Oh wow. Yeah. I think that's on there, right?
But he just makes it sound like something else, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's, is it synthesized? Is it?
I
Yeah.
don't know, but he does something to it.
Well, we end with Triumphant Limp. There's a little more to say about them. We'll do it after Triumphant Limp in terms of where they went. There wasn't much more, but there was more. But this is really one of the best song titles, Triumphant Limp, written by Goodsall, Giblin or Giblin, Lumley and Collins. So again, amazing lineup here. That's only 2 minutes from Triumphant Limp, which is 7.5. And it's hard to really get what's going on because I think that one does take a while to develop. I think it's great, but you know what's interesting about these last two Brand X albums, Hunter, is they've kind of left Decapitation behind. They're sort of not necessarily slicing off heads with the crazy fusion all the time,
Don't have
but
to.
they don't have to. And but when they do, as on DMZ at the end of this album, it's fucking take no prisoners.
Did we feature DMZ on a Fusion
Yeah,
Decapitation?
that was the one I mentioned at the beginning of this episode. It was our
Okay.
fifth. I had to look, but it was our fifth episode
Yeah.
in 2018, which seems like lifetimes ago.
Kind of was.
But yeah, we featured DMZ because that one just crushes, written by Percy Jones. Anyhow.
Absolute like madness. Yep.
Yeah. So in 82, they came out with a thing called Is There Anything About, which is basically from the product sessions, outtakes from that. I feel like there's some newer stuff too added or something, but that is a really good album. I remember getting it. It was, I kind of got these not in sequence, but I got the first five, before I got anything else by them, right? When I was buying them. And this one, I was like, well, I don't know what I'm getting, but I'll check it out. I think it's awesome. Do you have this one?
I don't.
Uh-oh. Christmas time coming up. I hope somebody gets it for you because I ain't.
I hope somebody does too.
In 1992, they came out with Excommunication. Do you know this one?
No.
I've never checked it out. Just not there yet. 92. It's got Goodsall and Jones. Those are the two, only two. What do we get after Excommunication? Manifest Destiny from 97. What do you know about this one?
That I probably don't want to check it out.
Also, Goodsall and Jones with a lot of other people. Pierre Morlin, drums. I think that guy played in Gong. I wonder about that one. Pretty great album cover. Who knows? And that's it. But that's 97. But I think they had a live thing going on for a while, like the last 20 years, haven't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No,
And didn't a guy from Imperial Triumphant pass through there?
Kenny Grachowski. Yeah, he played with him. Incredible drummer. And I think Grayson DeKrootman, another super incredible drummer, played with him for a bit. But yeah.
Well, you don't say. He was super incredible. Well, it's Brand X.
Yeah, I mean, well, you damn well better be.
You damn well better be. Well, thanks for listening, man. We love this shit, and we hope you do too. We hope maybe somebody stuck around long enough to listen to all the snippets and discover these guys. Let's go to the next episode, 138, Monumentum.
A long-awaited episode on Monumentum's In Absentia Christi, a really, really important and singular record, would you say, Jeff?
I think absolutely singular.
Yeah, like it's, I don't even know that I would call it metal. It's just, it's its own thing. Super dark, gothic. There's nothing else quite like it.
You can tell the guys doing it know their Morbid Tales and their To Omega Therion and they're into the Pandemonium, but you also know that they're probably into, I don't know, Coil or possibly into Goblin or Devil Doll
It's
or
it's dark. It's just dark music.
it's awesome. I mean it's amazing and it really we'll talk about this more, but it certainly influenced a lot of people inside the Norwegian and elsewhere black metal scenes in the early 90s. Or I should say mid-90s. It was interesting. This album itself has an interesting history, just in terms of the demo that came before it and all this. We'll get into it. We're going to have a lot of fun with it.
Gonna be a deep one.
Yeah. Join us, 138. We'll have fun. Panthymonium first, family second.